Praise God. Remain standing. If you have your Bibles with you, go to 2 Timothy chapter 10, verse 10 to verse 17. Amen? Praise God. We're just going to go directly to the Word of God, so He will allow to move. How many of you are blessed today? Amen? Man, that worship was awesome. Praise God. The Word of God says, "You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, my faith, patience, love, and endurance, persecution, sufferings, the kinds of things that happened to me in Antioch, in Iconium, and Lystra, and the persecutions that I endured. And yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ." Say it with me. All Scriptures is God's breath and is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Lord bless the reading of the word. Before you go back to your seat, go around and tell the person we're going to have a great sermon. Amen. Praise God. Yeah. Amen. Are you excited for the new series we're doing this month? Praise God. This summer, my family went to Germany. And we were hosted by a friend who gave us a tour of their beautiful country. We stayed in the southwest part of Germany called the Bavaria area. And we stayed in Black Forest. In fact, was able to taste the original Black Forest, which is actually very different than the American Black Forest. It is a famed tourist area known for their vast pine forest and then the beautiful, massive Rhine River. While we were there for a few days, I got to see a familiar landmark when we were going around. And it was a landmark that has hills, okay? And you will find this all over Germany. And they are called Teufelsberg. And actually, in German, it means the devil's hill. And my good friend, Harald Rau, explained to me the meaning of this hill, and I hope, you know, we can show that hill. So it's like a mountain, but actually it's quite interesting if you know the background of this landmark called Teufelsberg. They're all over the country, and you will find them in many cities and many villages. These man-made hills are built from the rubbles of the Nazi regime of World War II. It contains the rubbles of buildings, bomb fragments, scrap metals from weapons, clothes, and other debris because of World War II. Since there were no landfills back then to throw them, the German government decided to dump them into these rubbles in different parts of the country. Back then, they were just a pile, but through the years, it was covered by vegetation. Some of them were 200 feet, 300 feet, and 500 feet. And many of these Teufelsberg have a cross on top of them. And they are covered by beautiful gardens, and a lot of people go there, and actually it's called dark tourism. Because when they go there, it reminds them of the painful past that they went through during the last 75 years. Despite the changes that occur of this hill 75 years later, these hills remind the German people of their painful past and how these landmarks are used to remind the present generation, the younger generation, not to commit the same mistake. It is a gentle reminder to this present generation to look back and get it. This familiar getting back and get something from it is actually quite familiar in many cultures. In fact, the favorite ones that I want to highlight this morning is the word sankofa, which is an African word, which means actually to stop from where you're going and then look back, go and get something from it. And by the time you get something from it, you move forward. In fact, the African tribe who used this actually has a photo, and let me show that to you. And it's a quiet, interesting picture. It's quite, you know, if you don't know the story behind, you know, this bird means you have to stop from your onward direction and then look back. And if you find that little egg, it's not really just an egg or just a round. It's something, that a lesson that you can pick up from the past. Stop, get it, and then once you get it, start moving again in your next journey. Sankofa. That is very important because today marks the 500 years of the Reformation movement. The Reformation was a catalytic event that would have major repercussions from that past generation and to our generation today. And one of the precursors of this historical milestone was a German monk by the name of Martin Luther, who stood with unwavering courage and rebuked the institutional church that has deviated away from the truth, from Christ and the gospel. And so the church persecuted and pressured him and threatened him that he will be put to death unless he recants the assertion he has made regarding biblical fidelity. But Luther stood and, fully aware of the repercussions of what he might be able to say, stood up and he said, "I cannot and will not recant anything because this will go against my conviction and neither my right and my safety." And he said, "Here I stand. I can do no other. God help me. Amen." Those words sent shockwaves to the church and started a movement to reform, to renew, and to rebuild the church. There was a four-point message that Martin Luther and the reformers repeatedly told the church, which was a call to reclaim the very foundations of their faith. And he said those four commitments: sola scriptura, sola fide, sola gratia, and sola Christus, which means scriptures alone, by faith alone, by Christ alone, and in Christ alone. It's been 500 years since the Reformation. But I invite all of us, Charisma Life Church, in this next four Sundays to remember the Reformation, which started in October 31, 1517. And let this be a sankofa experience for many of us, to stop from where we're going, to look back and get something from it. Immerse the lessons in the past so that we can move forward. Can I hear an amen? Hallelujah. Thank you. And our pastors here will be standing with me and to make and assert those commitments again. For we believe, like what St. Augustine said, Ecclesia semper reformata, which means the church must always be reformed. Can I hear an amen? Hallelujah. And so this morning, let's go to the very first commitment, hallelujah, of the message of the Reformation, which is scriptures alone. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10 to 17, we will find this powerful reminder of a pastor to a young student of the scriptures, of a full commitment of God's word. He's telling this young preacher to have a sankofa experience, to stop from where you're going, Look at the past. Get something from it. And then start moving forward with your life. The message of scriptures alone is very powerful because the Reformation was surrounded at the time with uncertainty because there were a lot of extra biblical sources. That is why it is important, and that's my first point this morning, that God speaks to us through the scriptures with authority. That God speaks through the scriptures with authority. That the Word of God, the Bible that you're carrying and you are reading, is an authoritative source of the Word of God. So what does it mean when we say the Word of God? What does it mean when someone tells you, God just spoke to me, or I have heard from God, or I have an impression from God? Now, I believe it is a Word of God that I'm going to speak to you, as someone probably will tell you. That is important because the errors of the church back then was due to the fact that extra biblical sources became authoritative, of equal value or even more valuable than the scriptures. Are you following me? During that time, man-made traditions and extra biblical sources buried the eternal and powerful truth from God's word. So you have these traditions that buried the word of God and the truth. And so Paul reminded the young pastor Timothy to the scriptures that it is the final authority of God's word. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 says, all scriptures, just the word of God through the scripture, is inspired or God breathed. The King James Version translates this passage as this: all scripture is given by inspiration. It comes from the Greek word theonistos, which means God and spirit. It says only scripture has the quality of receiving the breath of God. Are you following me? This is very important because later on you will find that other people believe that they have the same and equal inspiration and also calls that as the Word of God. But according to Paul, only the scriptures, all scriptures, can I hear an amen? Are you following me? Amen? Not other things. They are good source of information, but only the Word of God through the scriptures, amen, has the authority, amen. This is why the Bible is the authoritative word of God. That is why I like actually the Message translation, although it is a much modern translation. Actually, it captures a more powerful claim that the written word of God is the only authoritative word of God. Let's go to that. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 15 to 16. I hope we have that on screen. It says, there's nothing like the written word of God. Ha. Amen? There's nothing like the written word of God for showing you the way to salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Every part of the scripture is God-breathed. Only the written scriptures. Because the fact of the matter is that today and even in the past, there are extra biblical sources that people use as the authoritative word of God. Like it was then, it is still happening today, that other sources are causing the aberration of God's word. Aberration means the departure from the original or what is expected. What are these? I know there's a lot, but I want to just hone in to three aberrations. Number one, the institutional church. The first one that you can take that can take away the focus from the authority of God's word is the institution. Let me share. There are a lot, but I'll just highlight one. In the 14th century, there was an Italian writer by the name of Dante Alighieri. He wrote a poem, actually, not a novel, not even a book, just a poem. It's called Divine Comedy. He was not a theologian. He was a writer who had influence from, you know, different religion, even Islam, you know, classic writing. And so he wrote this Divine Comedy as a poem. And then in that poem, you see, it was fallacious. It was fictional. Why? Because it was not intended to be doctrinal. It was intended to be a comedy. It was intended to be a poem. But during that time, it became very, very popular. Dante Alighieri had this picture that hell has about 9 different circles. And it was very popular. In fact, people called it at the time Dante's Inferno. The problem with that was eventually that kind of fictional statement became doctrine inside the institutional church. So much so that the church actually departed from what? The Word of God. No longer the authority, but now the institutional church becoming an interpreter, sad to say, of a poem. And there were 9, and he had this intermediate state, and then it was all a comedy. In fact, he probably did not know that his poem became a doctrine. 200 years later, the poem became popular and it influenced the doctrine of the church. And the teaching of indulgence was the product of this poem. Indulgence was the teaching that one can reduce eternal punishment after death through meritorious acts. And that triggered, you know, the Reformation. One of the reasons of the Reformation. That is why, you know, the Reformer said, Scriptures alone. Can you amen? Amen. You know what? What was then is also happening today. In the early 1990s, there was a novel, a Christian novel writer by the name of Frank Peretti. And he wrote a book entitled This Prison Darkness. What happened was that Frank Peretti was absorbed by the spiritual warfare. And he created this different kinds of imagery that, you know, the world is ruled by a lot of spirits. Now, a good novel, but it was not supported by doctrine. And that kind of teaching became a teaching of the church. And again, a departure from the Word of God. Can I hear an amen? That is why we have to always go back to the Word of God, because that is the only one that is God's breath. Can I hear an amen? Hallelujah. You know, one generation after another, you know, can deviate from the truth, and we make sometimes habits from these things that are not really biblical. You know, when I was a little kid, my father was a pastor. He was a superintendent of many churches. And when I look at pastors, you know, every time they pray, they would like, Lord. They will tiptoe. And I thought that was the way to pray. But you could pray without tiptoeing. Can I hear an amen? It was just what habit. And we have to be careful with that. And the only way we can be what? Truthful and committed is when we go to the scriptures. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Second one today. You know, influencers in the age of social media. You know, there are a lot of Christians who love to follow certain people that inspire them. Okay? In fact, a Christian website, Crosswalk, probably some of you are following that and reading. It's a good website. But I was surprised. They said, in one article, 25 influential Christians you should follow on social media. Okay? Some of the names I know our names that you're familiar and probably you are following, okay? And then there's another magazine, Influence Magazine, also says an issue, an article that says 150 Christian influencers to follow. Now this one, for ministers, it's the magazine is Ministry Resources, also issued 5 Christian influencers. Here's the title, you need to be following. Okay? So we have celebrity preachers like Judah Smith, Stephen Furtick, Christian Kane, amazing people, okay? Lecrae, the rapper, okay? The Asian preacher, Francis Chan, okay? Toby Mac, okay? What was the original band? DC Talk, yeah. I love DC Talk, okay? Then you have, you know, Hollywood celebrities like Justin Bieber, who, you know, would worship, you know, oceans. You know, and then Selena Gomez. Oh, people love to watch, share them, okay? Manny Pacquiao, all right? Will Smith, okay? And the last one is Kanye West. We see their memes, we see their quotes, their sermon clips, and we get inspired. Don't get me wrong. Some of these experiences and statements may be well-meaning. I saw Justin Bieber's prayer and his struggle. Well-meaning. Truthful. Maybe genuine. But, listen to me, celebrity Christianity creates a culture wherein we mistake their charisma as their character. Their persona as their personal life. And their statements as truth and as doctrine. It is a frail spirituality because they are humans and they fail and they continue to grow just like you and me. Can I hear an amen? They struggle and they fail. It is a sad reality that some, even of these young influencers, are victims of mental, what? Mental issues, and some of them have even claimed their whole lives. The reality is that it is sad to follow these young influencers later on. In the end, these celebrities or influencers fuels only the divide and the mockery of the Christian faith. Scripture says, friends, heaven and earth will pass away, but not the word of God. We have to go back to the word of God. Can any amen? Number 3, impressions. Another aberration from the inspired word of God. A common source of the word of God is impression, especially among churches that practice the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, I believe that. I've been blessed by people who have exercised the gifts in my life. But listen, we hear this oftentimes. God spoke to me. I have a word from the Lord. Thus says the Lord. They can be very dramatic and they can be very sensational. I believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but they should never replace the power and the authority of God's written scriptures. Can you hear an amen? My father, who was a pastor, one time told me about this. He said, there was a member in our church who was a farmer, and he told my father, Pastor Narciso, please come over. I have a rich conviction that God is calling me to full-time ministry. And my father said, wow, I will have an associate pastor. He was blessed to know this. So he went and rushed to this rice field and interviewed this Christian. And I said, what happened, brother? Tell me. He said, well, this morning I was looking at the skies and I was preaching and over the rice field and I saw the cloud. It's spelled PC. I said, what do you mean by that? He told me, preach Christ. That's why I want to be an associate pastor. He said, okay, PC, huh? My father said, how do you know PC means preach Christ? What if it means plant carrots?
impressions. Can I say amen? Scripture is the only authoritative word of God. To this young preacher and to many of us, you know, we have to go back to the Word of God. The Word of God is written to us, the Bible. We have to stick to it. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because that is authoritative. And the final say to doctrine, to faith, and conduct in our lives. Can we give the Lord a clap offering? Amen. Secondly, God speaks through the Scriptures truthfully. Amen. The Word of God says that the Scripture is God-breathed and benefits on the following things. Number one, it benefits in teaching. That if we absorb the Word of God, it teaches us the basic things in life. The Greek word for that is the word didaskalia. The Scripture shows us the right track. It shows us doctrines, the foundations of our Christian lives, how we can be deeply rooted. So when the storms and the challenges in life comes in, we will still be standing. This week, a bridge in Taiwan collapsed because of poor foundation. If we don't have the right foundation, we could collapse as well. That is why we need to have the Word of God. It is truthful and it guides us in teaching basic foundations of our lives. Number two, it also rebukes us. The Greek word for rebuking here is elegikos. The original language has the same meaning as the word conviction. That is why other translations do not use the word rebuke, but rather the word conviction. In other words, if teaching helps us on the right track, rebuking helps us and warns us if we are off track. You know, a few months ago, I was in Northern California, and I was there because of the PhilAm convention, and they let me be one of the resource speakers. And we rented a car. And this car had a system wherein if you are off track, you know, it shakes, you know, especially the steering wheel. You know, it shakes. And it has some lines that tells you keep on track. And that's the Word of God. When I became a Christian, one of the first disciplines that I did was to pray and to read the Word of God. And it was amazing how there were certain things that I would do before when I was not a Christian that was okay. But when I became a Christian, there was conviction. It tells me I'm in the wrong place. It tells me I'm doing wrong. Now there is rich conviction. Can I say amen? Now my heart thumps and tells me, don't do that. That is why the Word of God is called living Word of God. It gives us conviction. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So it tells you to stay on this track and warns you when you're off track. Now the third point is very powerful because not only it benefits in teaching and rebuking, but also in correcting. The Greek word for that is the word, wow, this is Greek. Epanorthosis. Now, let me highlight this because it's very powerful. The original language means to help us to restore and to get back on track. So now, if rebuking gives us conviction if we're off track, correcting is to really restore us when we are far away. Let's say you're not only off track, but you're really in the wrong direction. In other words, it has the power to restore us to our what? Default setting as we are made in the image of God. Can you hear an amen? Hallelujah. In other words, it corrects us. It renews us. It resets us to the very beginning by which God has purposed us to live and to do His will. Like Moses, who was a murderer, through the scripture, his life was corrected and he became a missionary. Paul, whose life was a persecutor and who hated Christians, the word of God says in the book of Acts that he was fuming with madness and threatened the believers. And yet, he was not being corrected by the word of God. He was not just rebuked, he was reformed. Paul was changed from hating Christians to loving Christians. That's the power of the word of God. It corrects us. Amen? Hallelujah. If you're looking at someone, you know, he might be an irresponsible person. The word of God can make that person responsible. Only the word of God has the power to do that. That is why the word of God is truthful. When I was a pastor in the Philippines, I was supporting the national director of Teen Challenge, if you know that ministry. It is a ministry for people who are addicted to substance abuse, from cocaine to crystal meth, people who have addiction problem. And we were supporting the national director. His name was Jacob. Amazing story. He was actually from Singapore, who was actually a member of the Italian mafia, and he was running drugs in Singapore. He did a lot of crimes, big time drug addict, and, you know, had a member of connections in Malaysia and Singapore. He was arrested. While he was there in prison, people who were Christians, you know, would go there and give him the Gideon Bible. And, you know, he didn't have any much thing to do, you know, but use the Gideon Bible and roll it and smoke it. It was a good paper to smoke. That's what he said. And he would smoke. You know, every time he had the appetite, he would, you know, roll a paper and smoke. And he said, you know, sometimes there were some marijuana in prison and they would roll it and share it. But one day, you know, when he was really down, seeming hopeless of being in prison, he tore a page one particular day, he said. And then it was in 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, "For anyone is in Christ, is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come." He said, "God, if you are real, I want to accept you as my Lord and Savior." And instead of rolling that, he opened it up and right there with no one preaching, received the word of God. Hallelujah. Spent more years in prison, got reformed, got out, became a missionary and the national director of Teen Challenge. Give the Lord a clap offering. Amen. Teaching, rebuking, reforming, correcting. That's the power of the word of God. And lastly, it says, it also gives us training. The Greek word for that is the word paideia. It equips us to stay on track. If teaching leads us on the right track and rebuking warns us if we are off track, correcting, which means to get us back on track, training is to stay on track. That's the power of the word of God. Scriptures alone can do that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. So God's word is important. So because the scripture is authoritative, we need to prioritize it. Because scripture is truthful, we need to practice it. Last but not the least, God speaks through the scriptures, not only with authority, not only with truthfully, but lastly, it gives us clarity. It speaks with clarity. It is not something that is complicated. Look at verse 10. Paul said, "You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life." The scripture is so clear that it gives you the way of life so that the servant of God might be thoroughly equipped for every good work. It charts your way, a very clear way. Number two, verse 15. Look at this. The Bible says in this passage, it says, "And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto your salvation in Jesus Christ." It's so clear that it gives you the way. It's so clear that it gives you wisdom in your life. And last but not the least is a favorite one of the clarity. In verse 17, the Word of God says, it changes our work and the purpose that we live. The Word of God says, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Can I hear an amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Scriptures alone, it is full of authority. It speaks truthfully. And it is a word that we can hear with clarity. I want to close this sermon this morning and show you a clip of a guy by the name of Jean Brandt. Probably some of you know what happened this week in Dallas, Texas. But 2 years ago, there was a woman by the name of Amber Goiger who was a police officer. She alleged that a person went into her apartment. The problem was that it was not her apartment. The apartment was owned by Botham Jean. She was the police, was the intruder. She went there because the apartment were all the same. This is what happened. She shot the guy named Botham Jean, thinking that an intruder came into her apartment. He was in the wrong place at the wrong time and shot the very person who owned that apartment. 2 years later, this week, the end of the long hearing, she was found guilty. And in this clip was the sentencing was about to be pronounced. And every part of the family, every member had a chance to speak their mind. The younger brother of Botham was now murdered, spoke. His name is Jean Brandt, a Christian who followed God's word. And this is the power of the scriptures. What you're about to see is a powerful testimony of the power of the word of God when it changes your life. And after this, we're going to close in prayer.
Say it twice or for the 100th time, what you've or how much you've taken from us. I think you know that. But I just... I hope you go to God with all the guilt, the bad things you may have done in the past. Each and every one of us may have done something that we're not supposed to do. If you truly are sorry, I know I can speak for myself. I forgive you. And I know if you go to God and ask Him, He will forgive you. And I don't think anyone could say it. Again, I'm speaking for myself, not even bad for my family. But I love you just like anyone else. And I'm not gonna say I hope you rot and die just like my brother did, but I see, I personally want the best for you. And I wasn't gonna ever say this in front of my family or anyone, but I don't even want you to go to jail. I want the best for you. Because I know that's exactly what both of them would want you to do. And the best would be give your life to Christ. I'm not going to say anything else. I think giving your life to Christ would be the best thing that both of them would want you to do. Again, I love you as a person. And I don't wish anything bad on you. I don't know if this is possible, but can I give her a hug, please? Please?
Yes.
Let's all stand. Praise God. The word of God is full of authority. Amen. The word of God, hallelujah, speaks to us truthfully. The word of God gives us clarity. It changes the way we live, the way we look at life. Bow your heads with me. We're going to end this service this morning, but we will have some time later on to let God speak to us. But as all heads are bowed and all eyes are closed, hallelujah, praise God. Hallelujah. I pray today that you will put your commitment to the Word of God. The first sentence in the first book of the Bible in Genesis 1 says, in the beginning, God. Hallelujah. And then in John chapter 1, verse 1, the Word of God says, the first chapter and the first verse, in the beginning was the Word of God. This morning, I want to challenge you today. God is not just a word. He's a real person, and he's living. And if you invite him in your life today, he's going to change your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And God's word will give you a different perspective of life, just like this little kid. Hallelujah. Whose brother died. He had all the right to be mad. He lost a brother. And yet through the word of God, hallelujah, he said, I forgive you. I don't want anything bad that will happen to you. And beg for the judge to hug the murderer of his own brother. Only God can do that. I don't know what you are going through in life today, hallelujah. But let the word of God change you. Maybe you're full of hatred today. Maybe you're full of unforgiveness today. Maybe you're full of doubt today. Maybe you are throwing your faith. I don't believe God anymore. But today, the word of God is true. The word of God is authoritative. Amen? Hallelujah. Let him change you. Hallelujah. It begins when we ask him to come into our lives. Hallelujah. As all heads are bowed and all eyes are closed, how many of you this morning will put your commitment to God today? Receive him as your Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Lift your hands. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yes, lift up your hands. I see a lot of hands. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let me pray for you, Father, in Jesus' name. I pray, God, for this people, Lord, whose hands are lifted up. I don't know where they are in their faith and in their situation in you. But God, I pray that you will speak to them. Minister to them, Lord. God, I pray today that you will move in our midst. That today, Lord, before they leave this place, they will experience you, Lord. They will find healing. You will find restoration. They will find peace. Bless them, Lord. We ask this in your name.